We all start more or less from scratch. And the difficulty is putting aside our previous notions about the spiritual path or prayer. When we begin, we're likely to come to meditation with all sorts of expectations. It's going to bring us peace. It's going to help us concentrate better. It's going to help us in our personal relationships or whatever. A couple of weeks ago, there was a program on the CBC television when six of the people who come here to meditate regularly were interviewed by a moderator who was interested to know what was it that brought them to meditation. And the recurring question that he asked them all was, well, why do you keep meditating? And they all replied that it just seemed to be the thing to do. And he said, what happens? Now, I could understand his question well, and yet, what all of us have to understand about meditation is that we are not meditating in order to make something happen. We're not meditating in order to get some sort of insight. In fact, we're not meditating to gain any possession whatsoever. Quite the reverse. We're meditating so that we can dispossess ourselves, not just of our ideas and insights, but to dispossess ourselves of our very selves. The essence of Christian meditation is that we become absorbed in God, where we lose all sense of ourselves and find ourselves only in God. As the great woman mystic St. Catherine of Genoa wrote, I know myself only in God. Now that's a very difficult concept for us to come to terms with, because we are all brought up to be such materialists. We're all brought up to be such controllers, such possessors. And to sit down and to voluntarily make ourselves poor, dispossess ourselves as we enter into the presence of God, is a real challenge for us. Now let me explain the process to you. Meditating is absolute simplicity. We sit down, we sit upright, and we sit still. And sitting still is of great importance. When we meditate tonight, try and sit as still as you can. Don't move your limbs. If your ear begins to itch and you want to scratch it, ignore it. Just sit still. And that's a very important first step away from the egoism that we have to leave behind us in meditation. And then, closing your eyes gently, you can spend a couple of moments perhaps taking a couple of deep breaths to calm yourself. And then begin to recite interiorly and silently your word, your mantra. And the word I recommend to you is Maranatha. Maranatha. And you just repeat that word over and over again, listening to it with care, articulating it with care, interiorly, silently. Maranatha. And that's all you have to do. And the art of meditation is learning to recite that mantra from the beginning to the end with absolute fidelity. Now, what happens? Basically speaking, it doesn't matter what happens. All that matters is that you say your mantra and you continue to say it for the entire time of the meditation. I think it's the experience of a large number of meditators, particularly the beginners, that it will often seem that the half an hour you spend in meditating in the morning and in the evening, it will often seem to you that it is a complete and utter waste of time. You'll get up from your meditation and you'll say, "Now, what did I get out of that?" Nothing. What happened? Nothing. And that is where meditating is an act of faith. When we meditate, when we sit down to meditate, we put ourselves in touch with a great and glorious tradition of men and women who throughout the ages have understood that the greatest wisdom is to leave self behind. Men and women who have understood the words of Jesus, "Unless you leave self behind, you cannot be my disciple." Men and women who have set out on this path to absolute liberty of spirit, the path whereby we leave behind all our own limitations and enter into the infinite generosity of God's love. A couple of years ago, a man came to our Monday evening group, and each Monday evening he would ask the same question. And he would say, "How long have I got to keep this up for?" He said, "I've been meditating now for 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, every morning and every evening. And he said, absolutely nothing is happening. I said, it's all very well for you to sit there and say that I've got to have no expectations, that I've got to accept the discipline of it, that I've got to have faith. He said, but surely to God, he said, something is going to happen one day. Now, that went on until one evening he wasn't there. And as everyone was leaving, at about 9 o'clock or so, 9:30, he turned up. And I could see that something had happened to him. There were smiles all over his face. And he said, you know, an extraordinary thing has just happened. He said, as I was turning the corner at the bottom of the hill to come up here, a young kid pushed his bike in front of my car. I could see he did it deliberately. I just tapped it and stopped. And immediately three kids surrounded the car and said, come on, you've got to pay me compensation. You've wrecked my bike. And he said, I was amazed how calm I was. And I said, well, let's get the bike into the car. You get into the car and we'll drive around to the police station. And he had some job persuading them. But eventually he got them round and took them in. And he said, throughout the whole thing, he was simply amazed at his attitude towards this experience. And what he said to me is, you know, I don't suppose anything is ever going to happen in my meditation, but I do see that it's going to change my life. Now, I think that's the experience of all of us who meditate. The great test, whether your meditation is working or whether you're making progress, I don't advise you to rate yourselves, but the great test is, are you growing in love? Are you growing in patience? Are you growing in understanding and compassion? And that is the effect of our meditation. With some of us, it takes longer. With some of us, the end of egoism requires a big struggle. And sometimes we are carried more or less kicking and screaming into the kingdom of heaven. But the important thing is not to bother how long it takes. It doesn't matter how long it takes. The only thing that matters, and the thing that I wish I could communicate to every one of you here this evening, the only thing that matters is that we are on the journey. And the journey is a journey away from self, away from egoism, away from selfishness, away from isolation. And it's a journey into the infinite love of God. Jesus says elsewhere, unless you become like a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Saying our mantra every morning and every evening is just this entry into a childlike state where we place our full confidence and trust in God. Whatever gift He gives us, we receive with simplicity and joy. Whatever barrenness He leads us through, we accept with the same simplicity and joy. And the greatest joy there is to enter into this oneness. A oneness in which all desire leaves us. A oneness that brings us into complete harmony. A harmony with our own spirit. A harmony with the Spirit of God. A harmony with all creation. The only quality that we require for this is that we do commit ourselves to the pilgrimage, where we are, as we are now. Don't bother about distractions. Don't bother that you give up meditating. Start again. Don't bother if you miss your meditation one day. Don't miss it the next day. Return to it. What is of supreme importance is that we are on the pilgrimage and that we stay on the pilgrimage. Listen to St. Paul writing in the second letter to the Corinthians. For the love of Christ leaves us no choice. When once we have reached the conclusion that one man died for all, and therefore all mankind has died. His purpose in dying for all was that men, while still in life, should cease to live for themselves and should live for him who for their sake died and was raised to life. Our meditation is dying to self and rising to new life in Christ.